The gospel for the reading for today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 through 32, and it's found on page 802 in your pew Bible if you'd like to read along. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And the son answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and he went. The father went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the day the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe in him." This is the word of God. Amen. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Spirit of our lives, we're grateful, Lord, for the gift of your word to us. And we trust you, Lord, to guide it, what you've laid on my heart, what you've placed in your word, and what's going on in each of our lives uniquely here today, that you bring an intersection of your love and our experience. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. The scriptures today invite us to experience the presence of the kingdom of God. Our psalm is this crying out to know God, to experience his forgiveness and his love and his help in all these ways that are possible. Our epistle lesson, the Apostle Paul is writing to talk about how we live together and the kind of humility that Jesus showed in his own coming and how we're to love and care for one another and do God's work in humility. Again, to experience his presence in one another. Our gospel lesson is kind of the other side of that, where Jesus is being confronted by the religious rulers of his time, and he asks them, you know, God sent John the Baptist. He invited you in to experience the coming kingdom of God, and you said no. And so he challenged that, and we see Jesus doing this throughout the Gospels. It's pretty hard on these guys, but he's doing it because God wants them in the kingdom of God, just like he wants you and me. So we're going to talk today a bit about experiencing the kingdom of God, the invitation God has given us to actually experience the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, and the kingdom that's come upon us. in our own lives and in our lives together and the lives of the world around us. And we're going to use to do that some work that our church council, the committees have been working on about our core values. And you've probably received this booklet about the core values of the church, and maybe you've worked on that. And in the middle, there are these four core values that as people prayed and sought and said, what is it that makes Shepherd of the Hills, Shepherd of the Hills? What is it that makes our community not unique in all these ways, but that we kind of rally around? And so they came up with four of these. The first is that we're Christ-centered. We exist to grow Christ's kingdom in our lives and his world. And then it's we grace it up. And what they mean there is we live from God's forgiveness so that our joy spills over to others. A third one is life is better connected. We connect people to God and one another. And the third one, and the one we're going to deal with today in this series that Pastor Jeff has been doing, is we glorify God. Our worship is sacred, participatory, and musical. So those categories, sacred, participatory, and musical, is something I'm going to try to use to talk about our experience of the very kingdom of God. Well, let's talk a bit first about the kingdom of God, and I want you to use your imagination. Let's imagine, if you will, that you've received, along with all of us and maybe many other people, an invitation to visit heaven. Okay, we don't have to die to do this. Maybe it happens in our sleep, but we go and we're going to see heaven. Okay, so however we do it, maybe we get an email and we click the button. I don't know how the Lord would do that, but we're going to go and we're going to see all the beauty of heaven. And so now imagine, again, that here we are in heaven, and before us lays out, is, you know, further than the eye can see, the most amazing beauty, trees and rivers and streams and mountains with vibrant colors that are just alive, animals of every kind possibility. There are people everywhere, and as we look more closely, there are people we know. People that have gone ahead before us, relatives, friends that are there, and they're waving and they're smiling and laughing at us. And so then we kind of look around at where we're sitting, and we're in these bleachers, okay? And they've got, you know, like in a stadium, bleachers and so on, like this. We're sitting in these bleachers, and there's this 10-foot-tall chain-link fence between us and heaven. And our loved ones and the people are waving at us and saying, come on in, you're invited. But we can't get in because of this chain link fence. We can only look. How many of us would be happy with that, right? No, Lord, that's not the kind of invitation God would give us. No, we've been invited into the kingdom of God. We've been invited to experience it, not just in heaven, not out there, not sitting in bleachers, not just reading about it, although we like to do that, right? As we read scripture about it, we like to do that. A monk friend of mine, his name is Brother Boniface, he's now in that picture in heaven, but when I knew him, he was in a monastery at Holy Trinity Abbey in Utah, near where I was pastoring. And he shared with me an experience that I trust it's okay with him that I share it with you, because I don't think he's told many about his experience of the kingdom of God. What he said was that he had told me, he'd hinted, as I went to this monastery for prayer once a month for a few days, and that was just part of my rhythm. And I got to know this monk really well. I'm actually wearing his cross. This is one that he wore, and I told him, Bon, when you die, can I have your cross? And a few days later, he gave it to me. He says, you need it now. And so I've been I've had it ever since. But he told me the story that God had hinted to him somehow in his prayers that he was going to give him a blessing to really encourage him. And so, but he didn't know what it was, And it was one morning, the monks have lauds at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's one of their seven church, go to church seven times a day. And that this was the first one. And he's standing, and it's their church is not unlike ours, except the monks are on each side, kind of where you guys are over here, and maybe you're over here. And for communion, they come up and they stand around the altar. And the person who's celebrating communion stands here, just like we do. And Boniface is one of these monks standing around in a circle, no chairs or anything like that, just standing there. And he's got a book, though, unlike the other monks. And because he's not a priest, he's a brother, he was never taught Latin, and at that time the Mass was in Latin. And because he felt communion was so important to him, he didn't want to space it off, so he had Latin on one side and English on the other. And so he would follow along with the communion service. As the Latin was said by the priest, he would read it in English. And so he's standing up there, and just like he did every morning, he'd been there 40 years, all right, every morning. And he heard the word of God to him. Boniface put down the book. And he thought, what? He said in his mind, Lord, I can't put down the book. There's no place to put it. And if I lean down and put the book on all I can do is put it on the floor, and everybody will look at me and it'll distract everybody, and I just can't put down the book. And the second time, God's word came to him and said, Bon, used his nickname, put down the book. So Brother Boniface was telling me, we're in this little closet. He was skinny as a rail, and we sat in this little closet to talk with a steam pipe going through from the boiler that would keep it warm, and we're sitting there, and I said, so what did you do? He said, well, I put down the book. And so he leaned down, and he put the book on the floor, and he says, as soon as it touched the floor, all of heaven opened up to me. He said, I saw the throne of God. I saw the Father, the Son, and the beauty of the Holy Spirit. There were angels and archangels and myriads of people as far as the eye could see gathered around the throne. And they were singing and worshiping. And then he quit. And I said, well, Boniface, can't tell me some more about it. And he said, well, Tom, I speak English and I speak Polish, but there are no words in any language I know that could describe what I saw and felt. He said, but I can tell you this. He said, when we die, we don't go someplace else. And when Jesus returns on that last day, he doesn't come from someplace else. The kingdom of God is with us. And that changed the whole way he looked at his own life and what was going on. And then that vision closed, and he never saw it again. He couldn't see it again. But what it brought to him, that experience, is what Scripture tells us specifically. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that when we believe in him, when we trust him, he gives us not only the gift of eternal life for heaven someday, but this entrance into the very kingdom of God. Jesus told his disciples over and over when he'd send them out, he says, do these things and tell them that the kingdom of God has come near you. And in the resurrection of Jesus from the cross and his ascension to heaven, he poured out his Holy Spirit. And the kingdom of God is here. And we're invited by the clear teaching of Scripture to experience it. But because we don't usually experience it primarily with our eyes and our ears and the way it touch and the way we normally experience one another, we have to pay attention with our heart and let our spirit show us. So back to these three categories that our congregation has come up with that are core values for us. This first one is that every day is sacred. Worship is sacred. It's holy. And I want to read another experience about seeing the kingdom of God out of the book of Isaiah to share this one, this sacredness with you. This is Isaiah 6. It says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I, the prophet Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, and the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations and the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. And then I said, woe is me, for I'm ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Another spectacular example. I mean, you know, makes Brother Boniface's one pale maybe in its magnificence, but God comes to us. The whole of Scripture is about God coming to us, you and me specifically. And because God is here, everything has become holy. Scripture tells us that we experience the holiness in all of creation that he's given us. This morning, Charlotte and I got up, looked out our bedroom window, and here's this cactus that this whole year has bloomed one flower. It just comes out in the daytime for one full day, and it's just gorgeous and white. And then it pulls back up and eventually drops off the cactus plant. And it brought us joy, because God created it. He designed it in his own hands. And somehow he put it on our patio for it to bless us today. We have to keep our eyes and ears open, because God's Holy Spirit is in every believer. That makes you and me holy and sacred. And so we pay attention to one another. We look for the good that shines through. Now, only God is perfect, but so we don't shine it perfectly. But it shines through. Little ways, said, unsaid, whatever it may be. We have to pay attention. A few weeks ago, I was sitting at the table discussion in our adult class over in the fellowship hall, and just listening to people reflect on their experience of what we were discussing. One person was sharing their faith a bit, and their face just lit up. And you could tell something special had happened to her. Jesus had happened to her. And he was shining through her in a way to the people at our table. We just have to pay attention, because everything is holy. And so as we, in our own tradition, worship together, we come together around Holy Communion, and we We call it Holy Communion because we believe our Lord Jesus is in it for us. We talk about the Holy Word of God because we believe that the Holy Spirit inspired its writing to guide us and lead us in the way that we too can experience God. We're invited in. Our second value that I'd like to have us look at it through is this one of participatory. It says our worship is participatory. We're invited to actually participate in what God is doing in the world around us. Read you this passage from Matthew chapter 4. It says, now Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And then Jesus went on to James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and called them. And he was going through Galilee, and everybody he met, he says, follow me, come on. You're invited in. We're invited to actually participate in the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus began it in this powerful way with his death and resurrection on the cross, and he's been working through the centuries. And he's invited you and me in our time, this little space in history, it's just exactly the same way he did the disciples in the biblical times, to walk with him in it. So we have to pay attention. So we could just, as an example, we could just look around the room and see how many people have made our worship service possible today, right? How many people? The people who set up communion, the people at the sound booth and streaming for those people who couldn't be with us but are watching us on television. Our musicians and singers who will help us worship in song. The people who made these pew covers and maybe they knew, maybe they didn't know who was going to be sitting in them. The beloved of God, worshiping him, glorifying him. Each of us in our own way. I was struck this last week. I was talking to a man on Zoom. I coached some people, and he was saying, God has laid on my heart. This is a man God's used profoundly, I think, in his own time. He said, God's laid on my heart a special mission which I need to pay attention to. He was kind of quiet, teared up a bit. I said, well, tell me. He says, it's my grandson's. It's my grandson's. And he listed the ages. I think it's about 6 to 16. He says, I've got 4 of them. And God has told me they got to be my top priority right now. I got to love on them. But he's going to have to guide me because each one of these boys needs me in a different way. Now, these kids aren't in trouble. They're not, you know, their fathers have got good families and so on. But this brother of mine saw that God had given him a special mission. Now, that's not the only mission he's got in his life, but it's an example of something that is walking with Jesus. And each of us are invited to do that. Maybe we smile at somebody. Maybe we greet somebody. Maybe the thought occurs to us, I ought to pick up the phone and call them. Maybe, who knows what it may be. Maybe we need to go to, you know, and the things we've done in our mission work and reached out. It's unique for every one of us, but we're invited in to walk with Jesus. Sacred. Everything is sacred and holy. We're invited to participate in the kingdom of God. And this third one is going to be a little harder stretch. Musical. All right? Now, again, as Lutherans, our tradition is we love music. But I think everybody loves music, don't you? I mean, everybody's got their genre of music which speaks to them. We we have the hymns that are sung or the worship songs that kind of, yes, you know, we sing them out, we know them, they have meaning to us, they're part of our history. But there's another kind of music that we're invited to listen to. Anybody notice the wind yesterday blowing? It was really windy here in Fountain Hills, maybe all over the valley. Well, I'm sitting out on my patio yesterday evening, puffing on my pipe. Can't smoke it in the house, right? And so I'm puffing on my pipe. And the wind is blowing the palm tree leaves. You know, it's just, you know, the gusts are coming and the palm tree leaves are fluttering and the birds are kind of flying around. And it was music. Do you know, of all God's creation, only those created in His image, you and me, are able to enjoy the sound of palm fronds blowing. The birds didn't care. They were after my bird feeder, right? I mean, the squirrels aren't impressed. The hummingbird didn't care. But I could look and enjoy the sound that my Savior created just so I could feel loved by Him. Do you know that you and I are the only ones of all of creation that appreciates a sunset or a sunrise or the sound of the ocean on the beach or birds chirping or the chatter of children as they're talking and playing? And on, the music of God's creation, singing a song of lyrics of His love for us. And so as we pay attention, not every palm tree doesn't get my attention when the wind's blowing, right? But that one did. And so when we pay attention to the beauty of creation, to the prayers of a brother or sister, to the prelude and postlude and the songs that are sung, the Holy Spirit will use it to invite us in to the reality of the kingdom of God. You see, in this time, we live in two worlds, actually. Before Jesus, there was the kingdom of this world, if you can think of a big circle, and that's us, all kinds of people, and there was heaven, okay? But when Jesus came, He brought them together. Not this, but overlapped. And you and I live in this overlap. This place where we are in the world but not of it, right? We are children of God, not just our parents. We're citizens of heaven, not just the United States of America or a country in this world. And so we live in these two places. And we have to function with all the things that go in this world, right? We get old. Things hurt. But we're invited in to experience the kingdom of God, which has come among us. And using these values, we're invited because we realize because God made it, everything is holy. And we can experience Him there in everything that's good and beautiful. We're allowed to participate in what He's doing by listening to His call on our heart. From the simplest thing to people who are able to build orphanages and hospitals and amazing things like that. It's all the same. It's following Jesus. And then finally, as we listen to the music of God's love song for us in all the ways that He's created. So in our gospel lesson, Jesus was kind of hard on these Pharisees. because he'd offered this overlap, this world. And they were saying, well, I don't know. Now, the fact that we're here together today says that we said yes to that. We have. We're here. But I'm finding in my own life, I'm always challenged to experience the kingdom of God more fully, because I'm fully invited in, and so are you. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see your invitations to us in the small things and the big things and what's going well and the things that hurt. We pray that you give us wisdom on your call to follow you and to know exactly what that means for us in this particular time and circumstance. Lord, we want to be able to worship you and believe in you and honor you and adore you, and until on that day we see it and participate it in its fullness. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen.